The mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. Will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. So how does a person become great? Well, according to entrepreneur coach Bree Seeley, there are six secrets. Number one, make up your mind to direct yourself toward your ideal future. Number two, take action on things that will move you toward your goals. Number three, avoid busyness. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Number four, don't get too attached to the future you expect. Anything can happen. Number four, don't be resentful. Don't waste your time on being resentful. And number six, celebrate your achievements out loud. Don't be humble. So, Muhammad Ali loudly and clearly proclaimed that he was the greatest of all time. There are people who say that Warren Buffett is the greatest financier of all time. Time magazine says that the greatest political icon of all time is Mohandas Gandhi. And according to IMDb, the all-time greatest movie actor is Jack Nicholson. Who knew? According to Jesus, greatness comes through service. Service that gives itself for others. And so that's what we're going to spend the next few minutes reflecting on. And as we get started, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, you've brought us here together around your word to listen to what you are saying to us today. We pray that you will open us up, open our minds, open our hearts, open our spirits, all that we have and all that we are, to hear what you are saying to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to review a little bit, in the gospel according to Matthew, Jesus is presented as the fulfillment to everything that's in Hebrew scripture. Christians call it the Old Testament. Jesus is dramatically connected to the royal line of King David. He was even born in David's hometown of Bethlehem in Judea. But as an infant, Jesus and his mom and his dad had to run for their lives to Egypt. And they were there for a while until it was safe for them to move back to their hometown of Nazareth in the northern province of Galilee. Eventually, as Jesus grew up, he was baptized by his cousin John in the Jordan River, And he started a public ministry that was largely based in and around a fishing village on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee called Capernaum. For about 3 years, Jesus and a group of followers made excursions into the surrounding areas where he taught in their synagogues, he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, and he healed all kinds of broken people. Eventually, Jesus decided that it was time to go to Jerusalem. And so he and his group of people traveled down a route known as the King's Highway on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They passed through a region called Perea, where they got in this huge discussion about what it means to be important in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and Jesus framed those conversations in terms of the first being last and the last being first. Jesus said things like, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who become like little children." He said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to get into the kingdom of God." He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like laborers in a vineyard where everybody gets paid a day's wage." Okay, eventually they crossed back over the Jordan River and passed through the city of Jericho. And along the way, Jesus reminded his followers for at least the third time where they were going. "We're headed to Jerusalem," he told them. "And the Son of Man," referring to himself, "the Son of Man is going to be handed over. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be flogged. I'm going to be crucified. On the third day, I will be raised." And so two of Jesus' closest friends, the Zebedee brothers, James and John, talked their mother into asking Jesus for a favor. They want to sit on either side of Jesus when he gets there. And it doesn't take much to see that they are asking for places of prominence on the thrones of the kingdom of heaven. And in response, Jesus tells them that they have absolutely no clue what they're talking about. The rest of Jesus' inner circle get very upset, and Jesus has to tell them one more time what it means to be important in the kingdom of heaven. If you want to be great, you have to be a servant. If you want to be first, you got to become a slave. Just like the Son of Man came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Greatness in the kingdom of heaven is based on service that gives itself for others. So what does that mean for us? All right, so a first grade teacher did something a little bit like what Janine did just a few minutes ago with her class. She went around asking her students what they did to help out at home. One little girl said, "I dry the dishes." Little boy said, "I feed the dog." Another one said, "I sweep the floor." She got to Johnny. "Johnny, what do you do to help out at home?" Johnny said, "I stay out of the way." When it comes to service for Christ, it may be very tempting for us to just want to stay out of the way. Okay, but service that gives itself for others is absolutely critical for those of us who want to follow Jesus. It is so very important because that is what we were created to be. God created everything for a purpose. Okay, dogs have a purpose, birds have a purpose, pumpkins have a purpose. People have a purpose. God has designed us for partnership in making this world the best world it can possibly be. Okay, there's an old saying that's been in and around the church for quite some time. It says, every Christian is a minister, and every minister has a mission. Okay, and it's very interesting that in the New Testament, the word that is translated minister is exactly the same word that's translated service. And in his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says that God calls some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors and teachers, for the building, to equip the saints for the works of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And in the Bible, saints are simply people who want to follow Jesus. Because a very famous preacher once confessed that he did not have the gift of mercy. So one night at a church board meeting, a woman showed up who had a disease that was slowly killing her. So this preacher prayed with her. But as much as he loved her and as much as he wanted to minister to her, he just felt he was painfully aware of his awkwardness. He confessed that he just does not feel comfortable in situations like that. And so when he had finished praying, an elder from the church immediately came over, wrapped his arms around the woman and said, kissed her on the cheek and said, I am so glad you're here. As they held hands, the woman wept deeply. And this preacher confessed, or later said, that the whole time this was going on, his thoughts were, thank you, Lord, for this elder's gift of mercy and for prompting him to use it here. You see, friends, we have all been called into the ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life as a ransom, as payment to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And because of what Jesus has done for us, we can begin to understand that we have been created, we have been called, we have been empowered for service in this world. A lot of Bible scholars see in Jesus' words about coming to serve and not be served a direct connection with Isaiah chapter 53 that Steve read just a few minutes ago. Okay, there's a lot of Bible nerd stuff going on here, but a lot of it has to do with this concept of being a ransom for many. Okay, many Bible scholars believe that Jesus has squarely placed himself in the role of Isaiah's suffering servant right here in this passage. You see, Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen to him when he gets there. And he's going to let it happen. He's going to let it happen because he knows that that's what it's going to take for humanity to begin to realize what we have been created to be. Okay, because of what Jesus has done, we can begin to realize our destiny. Jesus has told us what that looks like. Those who are great in the kingdom of heaven are servants. They are servants of God who serve one another. And it's here, right here at this table, that we clearly see and even get to experience Jesus' servanthood. This is, you see, this isn't Kirkwood's table. It's not the Presbyterian Church's table. This is the table of Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's the table where He sat down with His disciples to celebrate and to observe the Passover feast. And in John's Gospel, we are told that before they started eating, Jesus actually got up from the table and filled a basin with water. And He tied a towel around His waist, and He went around and washed each one of His disciples' feet. And in so doing, He loudly proclaimed, "Because I have done so much for you, you can do so much for one another." So today is Worldwide Communion Sunday. First Sunday of October, Christians all over the world are invited to the banquet table in the kingdom of heaven. And because we have been invited, we can come. We can come knowing that we have been created, we have been called, we have been empowered to be great ones in the kingdom of heaven, serving God, serving each other, right here, right now. Let's pray. Eternal God, You are holy and mighty. It's such a great joy to give thanks and praise and to worship You in every place where Your glory dwells. You laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of Your hands. One day, all of this will perish, but You are from everlasting to everlasting. You are always the same, and Your years never end. You made us in Your image and called us to be Your people, but we turned from You, leaving sin and death to reign. Still, You love us, and You seek for us. In Christ, Your grace defeated death and has opened up the way to eternal life. So we praise You. We join with the heavenly choirs and with all the faithful in every time and every place who forever sing to the glory of Your name, proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy are You, Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of Your glory." God of majesty, You are holy. Your Son, Jesus, is our Savior. He is Lord. Your fullness rests in Him, and we praise You that He came to be the way, the truth, and the life for us. He revealed Your love. He taught those who would listen. He healed those who had faith. He received everyone who sought Him and lifted the burden of their sin. He gave us this table so that we can remember what You have done for us. So we pray, Lord, that You will sanctify this bread and this cup, set it apart from a common use to the sacred use for which it has been appointed. Confirm in heaven what we do here on earth. We thank You for inviting us to this table, and we ask that You will pour Your grace upon us this day. We also pray, dear God, that You will hear us now as we raise our hearts and voices in the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.